The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Friday, March 19th. What to know about President Biden's promise to give out 100 million vaccine doses within his first 100 days, where it stands, and where else in the world the U.S. will send millions of doses. Also, why lawmakers clashed in a hearing about Asian American discrimination, and where the worst of the aftermath is from severe storms and tornadoes this week. Plus, we're talking about the NFL's massive media deals that will change where you can watch some of the big games, a wristband in the works that could read your brainwaves, sort of, and how some Reddit users are using their Wall Street gains for good. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy, all the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Today, the U.S. is expected to give out its 100 millionth COVID-19 shot since President Biden took over. And that means the U.S. is ahead of his initial goal. Remember, President Biden promised to get 100 million doses into Americans' arms within his first 100 days in office. Well, today is day 58. Of course, the vaccine program was first launched under former President Trump, and another 16.5 million doses were given out in Trump's last 5 weeks in office. Still, there's a long way to go, but Biden says he plans to announce his next vaccine goal next week, and he's already promised there should be enough vaccines for everyone by May. The U.S. is planning to start sharing some vaccine doses as well, though it won't impact that timeline. The Biden administration says it's sending out 4 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine that have been in a stockpile. That version of the vaccine is not yet authorized here in the U.S., but it does have the okay in Mexico and Canada, so that's where they're headed. The shipments will go out as a loan, with the U.S. getting future doses of vaccines later on. The exact details are not final, though. And by the way, the AstraZeneca shots could get the okay here in the U.S. as well pretty soon. The vaccine maker reportedly plans on asking for authorization in the next few weeks. Of course, there's also been some concern over the safety of that particular vaccine. A few dozen people in Europe, out of the millions who got the shots, ended up getting dangerous blood clots afterwards. Well, the European Union's medicine regulator has been looking into that this week and is now saying the AstraZeneca vaccine is safe to use after all. It says the benefits far outweigh the risk. The group found the vaccine does not increase the overall risk of clots, though there are still some uncertainties. So a new warning label will be added to the shot so doctors at least know to look out for the potential rare complication. Virtually all of Western Europe had stopped using those shots temporarily earlier this week until they heard more. And now France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, and several other countries say they will be bringing the shots back. Prominent U.S. lawmakers, scholars, and advocates spoke about discrimination and hate crimes against Asian Americans at a rare congressional hearing. It was actually scheduled weeks ago, but happened just days after a white man killed 8 people, including 6 Asian women, in the Atlanta area. While it's not clear if the shooter will be charged with a hate crime, it's still bringing up a lot of emotions and trauma, especially as the number of reports of abuse against Asian Americans has gone up recently. So during the hearing, many Asian American Democrats said certain Republican leaders are at least partly to blame. For example, California Congresswoman Doris Matsui was born in an internment camp for Japanese Americans. And she says hearing politicians use phrases like the China virus and Kung flu to describe COVID-19 brings back memories of how the federal government discriminated against her family decades ago. Another congresswoman said that kind of language puts a bullseye on Asian Americans. But on the other side, one Republican congressman from Texas, Chip Roy, said lawmakers should have the right to criticize China. And he said they should not have to worry about everything they say because of what someone evil did in Atlanta. Well, another Asian American Democrat from California, Ted Lieu, responded to that, saying it's not about policing speech, but he asked his colleagues to please stop using racist language anyway, since he says it clearly has catastrophic consequences. This was the first congressional hearing on Asian American discrimination in more than a decade. And by the way, President Biden and Vice President Harris are also addressing the fear and frustration in the Asian American community. Already, the White House has lowered flags in memory of the 8 people killed in the Atlanta area. And today, the president and vice president are going to be meeting with Asian American community leaders in Atlanta. But people all across the Deep South are now cleaning up from a tornado outbreak. Dozens of tornadoes were reported, mostly in Alabama and Mississippi, though some were also reported in Missouri, Louisiana, and the Carolinas, too. Several homes were damaged or destroyed, and at least two people were hurt. Thankfully, though, no deaths have been reported as of this morning. Some meteorologists say the storm could have been much worse if it had hit any densely populated cities. Instead, it hit mostly rural areas, and it seems people there were prepared. Still, the storms did get pretty intense. The National Weather Service has survey crews in the South now evaluating all the damage to figure out how powerful those storms really were. To be continued. The official start to spring is almost here. What's called the spring equinox happens tomorrow. It means the sun will be directly over the equator early tomorrow morning. It's also the tipping point for when our days will finally have at least as much daylight as darkness. Tomorrow, we'll have about 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. After that, the sun will just keep setting later and later until June. This equinox also marks the first official day of astronomical spring. And while it doesn't always mean it will feel like spring everywhere, forecasters say almost the entire U.S. will see warmer than average temperatures for the next 3 months. The only exceptions are in a small part of the Pacific Northwest and Alaska. We have more news just ahead, but first, this episode is made possible thanks to Fitbod. You know that feeling when you don't really want to work out, but then once you get going, you're so happy you did? I know I do. Well, no matter how tough your fitness goals may seem, Fitbod helps you build and maintain the habit with a dynamic program that learns from past workouts and adjusts as you go. And I love that Fitbod gets it that not everyone's workout should look the same. Location, intensity, pace, it can all vary. But Fitbod creates a program based on your unique body, experience, and environment. I love that when I got some extra at-home workout equipment, I could just update the app and my workout program updated as well. Or when I needed to start taking it easy for a while, I can change the intensity settings too. The app has clear, easy-to-follow instructions for the exercises and even has HD video tutorials if needed. So build the momentum to carry your fitness journey through the rest of the year with Fitbod. Get 25% off a membership right now when you sign up at fitbod.me/newsworthy. That's 25% off your membership at fitbod.me/newsworthy. Okay, now back to the news. An asteroid the size of the Golden Gate Bridge is set to skim past Earth this weekend. Scientists say it's up to 2,200 feet wide, and it's zipping along at almost 77,000 miles per hour. In fact, it's one of the fastest known asteroids to fly by Earth. But don't worry, it won't get too close. At its closest point, it'll be more than a million miles from our planet. So scientists say it probably will not have an impact. Still, NASA is calling it potentially hazardous because of its size and distance from Earth. It'll be closest to us at about 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. Even at its brightest, you will not be able to see it with the naked eye, but space enthusiasts should be able to spot the space rock with a telescope. Facebook is showing off its new augmented reality project. Remember, AR is a way to incorporate digital images into the real world. Think Pokemon Go. Well, Facebook is making bracelets that go way beyond that. They're meant to translate subtle signals from your brain and turn them into action. They read your nerves as they send information from your brain to your hand. So, for example, while wearing the bracelets, you'll be able to navigate through the AR menus by just thinking about moving your finger to scroll. Facebook is hoping these will be even more accessible to people than the AR headsets on the market now, since they could technically be worn all the time. Of course, some people might worry about a device that could read your mind, but Facebook insists that's not what's happening here. It points out that we all have thoughts all the time, but only act on some of them. Well, this band would only be able to read the thoughts we really intend to act on, like typing or swiping. The other concern with this, though, the bands will almost certainly be collecting a lot of data, like your typing patterns or overall levels of body tension. To that, Facebook says it has a neuroethics program that's examining privacy concerns now. The product is still being developed, so at this point, it's too soon to know how well it might work, what it will cost, or when it would be available. The NFL has inked massive media deals with some of the biggest TV networks. We're talking NBC, CBS, ABC-owned ESPN, and Fox, as well as Amazon streaming platform Prime Video. The deals are together worth about $110 billion for 11 years. These deals let the networks and platforms broadcast pro football games, so this means there will be some changes to where you'll be able to watch them. The biggest change? Amazon is now going to be the exclusive home for Thursday Night Football. Sunday Night Football will stay on NBC. Monday Night Football will stay on ABC and ESPN. The Sunday afternoon games will be split up between CBS and Fox. And who carries the Super Bowl will switch off each year between all four major networks. The new agreements are set to get underway in 2023, and they'll last through the 2033 season. It looks like movie theaters are ready for a comeback. As of today, America's largest movie chain, AMC Theaters, says it will have 98% of its locations open, and even more will open up next week. This is a huge turnaround, since it was only 9 months ago that AMC said it might not survive the coronavirus pandemic. Back then, most of its theaters in major markets were closed, and it worried about film studios releasing more movies directly to streaming services. Things seem to be turning around, though. AMC is offering jobs to some of its old employees who got laid off at the start of the pandemic, and it's hoping moviegoers will be ready to come back as well. Of course, capacity will still be limited, and there will be more safety protocols in place, like mask wearing and mobile ordering for food and drink. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, when we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, this episode of The Newsworthy is presented by America's leading beverage companies who are working together to reduce plastic waste in our environment. Not all plastic is the same. America's beverage companies are carefully designing 100% recyclable plastic bottles, including the caps. Their bottles are made to be remade. And they're investing in community recycling programs to help get more bottles back so they can be turned into material used to make new bottles. And that completes the circle and reduces plastic waste. Please help get every bottle back. Learn more at everybottleback.org. Again, that's everybottleback.org. All right, now back to Feel Good Friday. The same Reddit community that rallied around failing stocks like GameStop earlier this year are now rallying behind a different cause. Users of the popular Reddit page Wall Street Bets have recently donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to charities that protect gorillas. It might seem a little random, but it doesn't come out of nowhere. One of the mottos of Wall Street Bets is "Apes Together Strong." It's sort of an inside joke that some say reflects the wild nature of their investments. Well, someone on the page donated to the Dian Fossey Gorilla Fund last weekend, and since then, other people decided it was a good idea, too. The organization has received $350,000 in donations in just a few days. That's way more than it usually gets. So the charity says the money will go straight to fieldwork, helping it track, monitor, and protect wild gorillas. And it updated its homepage to feature the Reddit group's slogan, "Apes Together Strong." Some members of the community say they're not stopping there either. One user wrote this week, quote, "Apes on Reddit will use gains to donate to good causes, pay medical bills, and help the needy in their community." All right, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with our special edition Saturday episode tomorrow and another news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great day.